by the cross.
Take your Bible and be finding Luke chapter 24, if you would please. The book of Luke chapter 24. I believe there's a white Ford van, Tennessee tag JCU823, that has your lights on. And if you'll check on that. Find Luke chapter 24. I thought about Travis when he was testifying there. I thought about a message that I used to preach years ago. I hadn't preached it in years. On what happens when God walks in His people. And we talked about, I will be their God, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. And one of the points was, when God walks in us, it has a shaking effect. He's so big that whenever He starts moving around in us, it'll affect us one way or the other, amen? And so He's alive. I thought about that. Let me remind you, tonight we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. It's the fifth Sunday night. You don't want to miss tonight. It's a very special time that we observe the Lord's Supper. And so you'll be here tonight. And also, for you that are very, very worried that we have not taken an offering, we'll do it at the end of the service. I want to get that out of the way because that'll hinder many of you. And you won't listen to the message because you're so worried you're not going to be able to give today. But we'll take the offering at the end of the service. This is a special day of giving for us as a church. All of our Field Sundays are dedicated to our new facility, and we'll be receiving an offering at the end of the service for our building fund. I want you to stand as we honor the reading of His Word. I want to share with you a thought today that I'll confess is not original. I ran across this thought. I'll give you the story from which this thought came. But I want to borrow the thought and use it as the basis for my message today. And it's simply this. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Look at Luke 24 and verse 1. The Bible said, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the week being the Lord's day, being Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. And then I'll share with you my thought this morning. Our Father, as I come to You this morning, we are grateful for Your presence. We're so thankful that You are alive. The evidence is much. And even in this service, Lord, You have proven Yourself to be a living Savior. You are with us, and we thank You for it. But I ask You now, Lord, that as we open Your Word and continue thinking about Your resurrection, continue to make it real to our heart. Continue to make it fresh in our hearts this morning. I give myself to You, for I desperately need You this morning. I want You to use me to communicate the truth of Your resurrection. I pray today that You'd help us to see Your resurrection in a fresh light. Bring this truth home to our heart, and we'll thank You and we'll praise You for it is. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I read about a man that was walking down a street when he noticed in a store window a beautiful painting of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He just stood there gazing at the picture for the longest. And then he happened to realize and notice a little boy standing beside him. And the little boy was looking at the painting as well. And the man reached down, patted the little boy on the head. He said, "Son, do you know what that means?" And the little boy looked up kind of somewhat surprised, like, "Don't you know what it means?" He said, "What does it mean?" He said, that man there is Jesus. And the woman that is crying, it is his mother. And them others is Roman soldiers. They killed him." And the man smiled and turned and started on down the street. And a few minutes he heard somebody running down the street and a little voice said, "Mister, mister, mister." And the fellow stopped and turned around, and it was that little boy. And he come running up to him. He said, "Mister, miss, I forgot to tell you," but he didn't stay dead. Amen. Today we celebrate the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Easter Sunday serves as a yearly reminder that Jesus died for our sins on Calvary's cross and was buried, but on the morning of the third day, he rose again. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." You see, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ touches our lives every day. But on this day, we dedicate our thoughts to his resurrection. Now, we look at the resurrection in many ways. I think about a story I read about a group of four-year-olds. And their teacher was teaching them one Sunday morning, and she looked at the class and she said, "Does anybody know what today is?" And a little girl raised her hand and she said, "Yes, today is Palm Sunday." And the teacher said, "That's great. Now, can anyone tell me what next Sunday is?" And the same little girl raised her hand. Teacher said, "Yes." And she said, "Yes, next Sunday is Easter Sunday." And then the teacher said, "Can anyone tell me why next Sunday is Easter?" And the same little girl raised her hand again. And she said, "Yes, next Sunday is Easter because Jesus rose from the grave." And before the teacher could congratulate her, she went on and she said, "But if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks. Well, let me go on record this morning and say that Jesus got up from the grave and he'll never be placed in a tomb again. He rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father as King of kings and Lord of lords. Today we do not worship one whose body is contained within a tomb or a shrine. We worship one that rose again. You see, today we celebrate a living Savior. If you were to visit Jerusalem, about a block from the old city wall, you would find what is called the Garden Tomb, where it is believed that Jesus Christ was laid after his death. Normally, there's about 250,000 visitors a year that will visit the Garden Tomb site. But I want to remind you this morning, what is so unique about that grave is that visitors don't visit the tomb to pay their respects to one that is dead. They go there because the tomb is empty. People don't go to the tomb to mourn. They go to the tomb to rejoice. They go there by the thousands to celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty. They don't go there to weep, but they go there to worship. You see, Jesus Christ is alive. Can I get an amen right there? Through the years, I've had the opportunity on different occasions to preach in black churches. Now listen, I love to preach in black churches because when black folks go to church, they go to church, and I like that. And I've had the opportunity several times to preach in black churches. But I read this week about a black church or a black service in a black Baptist church that I would have liked to have been in that service. It was a Good Friday service in this Baptist church, black Baptist church. And during the service, there were seven preachers that preached back to back. And every one of them preached on the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, when it got down to the last and the seventh preacher, you would have thought that everything that had been said. You would have thought, what else can be said about the crucifixion? We've had six sermons on the crucifixion and the resurrection. What else could be said about the crucifixion and the resurrection? But this old black pastor got up, entered the pulpit. He looked at the congregation and he started softly. He said, "You may be living on Friday, but Sunday's coming. One of the deacons yelled, "Preach, brother, preach." And that was all the encouragement he needed. He came on a little louder. He said it was Friday and Mary was crying her eyes out. The disciples were running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd. But that was Friday and Sunday's coming. People in the congregation began to pick up on where he was going. Women started waving their hands, going, "Well, well." And some of the men started yelling, "Keep going, preacher, keep going." And he picked up the volume even more. And he said, "It's Friday." And the cynics were looking at the world and saying, "As things have been, so shall they be." But the cynics didn't know that it was only Friday. Sunday's coming. And he got more louder as he went along and kept saying, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And by the time he got to the end of the service, he yelled, "It's Friday." And the whole congregation yelled back in one accord, "But Sunday's coming." And if I may borrow that old black preacher's thought this morning, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the thought, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." What I want to do is take you back to the tomb. And I want to take you back and just point out a few people surrounding the tomb of Jesus Christ. Three groups. I point them out quickly. The first is this. I want you to think with me and draw your attention to the ones grieved by his death. They're the ones grieved by his death. You see, there were many that were devastated by the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus. You could say there were many broken hearts on that Friday. One can only begin to imagine the despair that filled the hearts of those that had walked with the Lord and those that had followed the Lord, those that knew the Lord and those that loved the Lord. You can only begin to imagine what they were feeling in their heart. As an anonymous poet has written, "No tears, the pain severest that human hearts can know, to lay what we hold dearest to the, thus in the dust below." Again, you can only imagine what they were feeling. The cries and sobs of many could have been heard throughout Jerusalem that night. I think of the painting entitled "The Return from Calvary." And it shows Mary Magdalene and another woman returning to their homes after the crucifixion and the burial of the Lord Jesus. And in the distance, discernible against the horizon, stands the three crosses of Calvary. But what is so evident in the painting is the despondency that is etched on the face of Mary Magdalene and the other woman. It is so obvious, and the painter is trying to depict what they were feeling on that Black Friday. But I would submit unto you this morning that what that artist depicted in the face of Mary Magdalene could be seen in the face of every follower of Jesus Christ. I think of the disciples. I can only begin to imagine the great sense of loss they felt. They must have felt like they were all alone in the world. How confused and how uncertain they must have felt. You see, the one on whom they had pinned their messianic hopes had been laid to rest in a garden tomb. He who had made the deaf to hear and the blind to see and the lame to walk and even the dead to rise had been snuffed out by the combined power of religious leaders in Roman might. Now he lays dead in a tomb. Can you imagine how crushed they must have been? Can you imagine how futile everything seemed to them on that Friday? But if it were possible for me to go back in time, I'd like to go back to the city of Jerusalem on that Friday. And I'd like to run up and take Matthew by the hand and say, "Matthew, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I'd like to run over and get old Mark and say, "Mark, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I'd like to go get Luke and say, "Luke, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I'd like to find John out there weeping his eyes out. "John, it's Friday, but I want you to know Sunday's coming." I'd like to find poor old discouraged, defeated Peter and say, "Peter, it's Friday, but I want you to know something. Sunday's coming." But I not only think about those disciples. I think of the women that were around the cross. There was not only Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven devils and had saved out of a life of prostitution, but there was Mary, the mother of Jesus. I thought about Mary this week, and I thought, what must have went through her mind on that Friday afternoon as she stood at the foot of the cross and watched Jesus hang in agony? Did her mind go back to the night that she gave birth to her firstborn son? Did the memories of her childhood flash through her mind? I can only begin to imagine what she felt as she stood there looking upon the bloody, mangled body of her son. But if I could go back this Sunday morning, I'd like to go up and just slip my arms around Mary and say, Mary, it's Friday, but I want you to know Sunday's coming. I think about other faithful women that followed Jesus. They had watched their master die an excruciating death. In love, these feminine followers had sought to perform proper ministrations on his corpse, but they were denied that opportunity. I can almost hear their crying, and I can almost see their tears and feel the pain in their heart as they made their way back to their places of dwelling. I'd like to go back and just take each one of those dear ladies by the hand and say, it's Friday, but I want you to know Sunday's coming. You see, there are those that were grieved by his death. But I think about, second of all, those that were glad for his death. You see, they were not only those that were mourning his death, but there were some folks that were actually happy that Jesus had died. There were many that were celebrating his death. I think of the chief priest. I think of the Pharisees. I think of the Sadducees. I think of the elders. I think of the Roman leaders and the Roman politicians. They were happy that Jesus had died. You see, for some time, they'd just been lying in wait, trying to trip him up. And they had been looking for the opportunity to get rid of Christ. He'd been a thorn in their side for some time. And the faster they could get rid of him, the better off they would be. And then lo and behold, the opportunity came, walked right in and presented itself to him. Judas, one of his own, walks in one day and says, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. They negotiated a price of 30 pieces of silver, worked out all the details of how they could arrest him and take him. From that point, things kicked in high gear. He was betrayed by Jesus in the garden and arrested by the religious leaders. He was taken to high priest's palace and put on trial. Run through a kangaroo court, condemned on the testimony of false witnesses, they begin to cry out for his death. Several spit in his face. Some hit him in the face with their fists. Others slapped him in the face with the palm of their hands. He was mocked. Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? The next morning he was taken bound and taken to Pilate. One after another, the chief priests and the elders leveled their charges against him. And finally Pilate issued the death sentence. Like a celebrating courtroom after a verdict is given, I can imagine religious leaders began shaking each other's hands, slapping each other on the back, celebrating the verdict. He's going to die. He's going to be out of our hair forever. Both the religious leaders and the political leaders of Rome could now breathe a sigh of relief. But if I could go back to that scene on that Friday, I would say to the chief priests, it's Friday, but I want to tell you something, Sunday's coming. I would say to the elders, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would say to the soldiers that scourged him and nailed him to the cross, it is Friday, but Sunday is coming. I would say to Pilate, you can wash your hands over and over if you want to on Friday, but Sunday's coming. There were those grieved by his death. There were those glad for his death. But I think of one more sinister presence at the grave or Calvary that day, and that is the one that gloated over his death. You don't hear him. You read the account of his crucifixion. You don't see him. He doesn't say a word. His head doesn't pop up anywhere. But you can be sure that he was behind everything that was going on. You say, preacher, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about the old devil himself. You can be sure he was the energy behind the mob shouting, crucify him, crucify him. He was the one that stirred up the religious crowd. He was the one that planted the thoughts to have him removed. He was the one that filled Judas' mind with thoughts of betrayal. He was the one that whispered the lies in the ears of the false witnesses. And although you don't see him, and although you don't hear him, you can be certain that he was strutting around like a victorious commander. For you see, from the time it was announced Jesus was born, he began a campaign to have him exterminated. He was behind the death of the innocent firstborns that were slaughtered by Herod. In fact, he had whispered in Herod's ear, you got to get rid of the child that is to be born king of the Jews. In the wilderness, he did everything he could to discredit and to disqualify Jesus Christ. He offered him the kingdoms of the world if he would but fall down and worship him. On another occasion, he riled up a crowd in a synagogue where Jesus was speaking.
They got so riled up, they took Jesus out and carried him out of the city up on the brow of a hill with the intention of throwing him off the cliff. But Jesus simply passed through the mess. But Satan, for years and years and years, like a lion waiting for his prey, he was waiting for an opportunity to attack and devour his prey. He patiently waited for the right moment and then for the right opportunity. When the angry mob was shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," I can imagine if he'd listened off in the background, you could have heard his devilish, sinister laugh as they watched Jesus being scourged and being crucified. And then when Jesus breathed his last breath and his head slumped down upon a breathless chest, I can imagine that all the demons of hell must have broke forth in celebration and jubilation. And the kingdom of darkness must have reverberated with the cheers of victory and cries that we've won and we've won. I can see in my mind scenes of high fives and hugs and dancing, feeling the principalities and powers of Satan's kingdom. And all the time, he sits up there on his throne gloating over what has just occurred. But if I could go back, I would say to be able to go back, I would say to all those dancing demons, dance up a storm. Today's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I'd like to go to the foot of the cross, stained with the blood, and shout to the top of my voice, Satan, gloat all you want. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I'd like to grieve by his death and say to those that are grieved by his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I'd like to say to those that were glad for his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I'd like to say to those that gloated over his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Are you with me now? Say amen. I'm going to ask you for something this morning. I'm going to ask you for your imagination. Can I get your imagination for a moment? Have I got your imagination? Will you come with me now? In fact, what I want us to do, let's do a little time traveling. Now, I promise you, I'm going to get you back in time to eat dinner, all right? But let's do a little time traveling. I just want your mind, and I want your imagination, and let's travel back in time. Are you with me? Are you ready to go? Will you travel with me? How many of you go with me now? Will you go? All right, let's go. And let's go back. Tell where let's go. Let's go back to the garden tomb. Let's go back where they buried Jesus. He was crucified on Friday. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Let's go back and let's go visit the tomb where Jesus was buried. In fact, let's get there early. Let's get back there before the sun even began. We need to get there about an hour early. And let's get there, and we want to get us a good seat. We want to get up there somewhere. We want to make sure that no matter what happens, if anything happens, we want to be able to see it. I want to see everything that goes on. I want to be able to hear everything that's going to be said. So let's get us a good seat, all right? Have you got your good seat? And you look down there, do you see the tomb? Now, down me, bless the Lord. Stay with me now. I'm asking for your imagination. Do you see the tomb? All right, we've got us a good seat, and we're looking at the tomb. I can hear the birds beginning to sing their morning carols. And the sun's just beginning to shoot its silver arrows through the eastern gate. I'm just beginning to make out, do you see those? I see them. There's the soldiers down there guarding the tomb. But look down the path. I see the silhouettes of several women winding their weary way to the tomb. There's a couple of ladies that's a little out front of the others. In fact, I believe, yes, that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that's Mary Magdalene. And they've got something in their hand. What is it they've got in their hand? Can you make it out? Yeah, it looks like a bottle, doesn't it? And I bet they've got spices. I bet they're coming to anoint the body of our Lord. Look at them. Bless their hearts. See how red and swollen their eyes are. They look like they haven't slept in days. They look like they have cried for hours and hours and hours and hours. Look at their faces. It's obvious how much they hurt. Their pain is written all over their faces. But if I believe you listen, they're talking to one another. Listen, what are they saying? What are they saying? Can you hear what they're saying? Or what I'm saying? How are we going to move that stone? How are we going to roll that stone back to anoint his body? All of us together never be able to budge that stone. How are we going to move that stone? Do you hear them? Are you with me? Are you still with me? You watching, you see? What's that smell? That smells like death. That smells like corruption. You might have known those fellas had showed up. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. I hear old death say, "Help! I can't hold on to him anymore." I hear corruption said, "I can't hold on to him anymore." Satan says, "Hold on, boys. We got him down. Don't let him up." But death says, "I can't hold him." Corruption says, "I can't contain him." What's going on? Up from the grave he arose as a mighty victor o'er his foes. What day is this? It's the first day of the week. What day is the first day of the week? It's Sunday. Mary, I told you on Friday, Sunday was coming. Matthew, I told you on Friday, Sunday was coming. Pilate, I told you on Friday, Sunday was coming. And may I just rub this in the devil's nose? Satan, I told you on Friday, weep, gloat all you want to, but Sunday's coming. Demons of hell, you've danced your last dance, Sunday's come. He's alive, blessed be God. Oh, yes. And may I say to you, because we now live in a Sunday, you may be going through trials today. It may be Black Friday today, but Sunday's coming. It may be long and dreary in this life now, but one of these days, Sunday's coming, and we'll see him coming back for us. I'm telling you today, he's alive. It's Sunday. Glory be to his name. Oh, Marilyn Havricate put it this way. It's Friday. Jesus was nailed dead on the cross, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Mary's crying her eyes out, calls her son Jesus is dead, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running in every direction, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate strutting around washing his hand because he thinks he's got all the power and victory, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and the people are saying, as things have been, so shall they always be. You can't change anything in this world, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The temple veil ripped from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs opened. The centurion cried in fear. Truly, he was the Son of God, but Friday's coming. But it's Sunday. The angel-like dazzling lightning rolled the stone away, exclaiming, "He is not here. He is risen." It's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Can I get an amen? Amen. Aren't you glad he's alive? Aren't you glad he's alive? Let me sum it all up this way. I can imagine, I thought this week, how did everybody respond? I think this is the way they respond. Simple little statement. I think all the followers of Jesus said this. Oh, yes. I think all the religious leaders said, "Oh, no." But this is what I think the devil said. "Oh, me." Amen. Oh, you think we're crazy around here? I'll tell you what we're doing. I'll tell you what we're excited about. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. 30 years ago on this Sunday, I was a hell-bound sinner going to hell. I had no hope. My life was a mess. But I walked down an aisle and knelt at an old-fashioned altar like this, asked Jesus Christ to save me, the one that got up out of the grave, moved into my heart. I not only celebrate that he rose again, I celebrate that I've been born again. It's Sunday down in my heart. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen? There may be some of you here today. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. I want to invite you to come to Jesus Christ. I want you to come this morning and receive as your own personal Savior this living Christ, this risen, this living and resurrected Christ. Will you do that? Will you come in today and experience what I experienced 30 years ago on this Sunday? Will you come today and let somebody take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can know that you have eternal life? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go through life hoping that you won't go to hell. You can go, you can come today and get it settled once and for all. Why? Because it's Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. You can come today, and I want you to come. There's some of you been living defeated lives. Satan so got you bound down, discouraged and defeated. Why don't you realize this morning that a living Christ lives in you? You are victorious in Him. Why don't you find your place in this old-fashioned altar and come to Him and say, Dear Christ, You live in me, and may Your resurrected power live in me. Won't you do that this morning? Whatever the need, whatever the reason, because He's alive, there is no need in your life that cannot be met. Amen? He can save you. He can forgive you. He can change your life. He can meet your needs. He can do whatever you need today. He's alive. And we're going to sing in a moment. I want you to come. Some are already coming. You get up out of your seat. Come anytime. There may be those who want to come and unite with our church today. I invite you to come. Get up out of your seat and come. And just walk down here to the front and stand. We'll get the information that we need from you. Whatever the purpose, whatever the reason, I want you to come. Father, this morning in Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, for Sunday. Thank You, Lord, that Friday, Black Friday, became a glorious Sunday. Thank You, Lord, for the hearts that were healed on Sunday. Thank You, Lord, for the battles that were won on Sunday. Thank You, Lord. Today we celebrate Your resurrection. Meet needs in people's hearts this very moment. If there are people in this room not saved, save them. There are people here today away from You, bring them back. There are people here today that have needs in their life. Meet those needs, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.